My Music. A panel game devised by Tony Schrein and Edward J. Mason. Chairman, Steve Race.
First, the good news. The cast in order of appearance, John Amis and his partner, Frank Muir, Ian Wallace and his partner, Dennis Norton. And now for the bad news. In response to many inquiries, I have to announce that our scorer is already spoken for. If only I'd been born 10 years earlier. Meet our delightful Mary Bell. Happiness is the subject of this opening round. John, a bright start. What is this gentleman telling us?
What's he know? He's rather good, though, isn't he?
Yes, rather good indeed. Little but good, you might say.
Oh.
Now you know, do you?
Who? Little but good. You don't mean that poor chap who was a dwarf?
Well, he was very small indeed.
Joseph Schmidt. Yes. He was actually a dwarf.
Yes.
That's why he never did opera. Joseph Schmidt.
That's right. What was he singing? Yes, indeed. What was he singing about?
No idea.
about 4 foot ten.
You have his name, fair enough. He was singing, "This is the happiest day in my life," in that tremendous, tremendous voice of his. Yes, Josef Schmidt. Frank, it's always nice to hear people laughing. Yes. Frank, can you put a date to that recording? How old were you when it was made?
We were pressed about the same time, I think.
Very, very nearly.
I'm at my grand climacteric. Mm. So we'll put it at the 30s.
Oh, no.
The 20s.
Please.
You're
not kidding us.
No, I wasn't trying to. Well, I would say about 1920.
Well, we won't say how old you were at the time, but it was right about 1922 that I thought that. Harry Radiman's jazz orchestra playing Make That Trombone
Laugh. Whatever became of them?
Harry Radiman? I think he got old and stopped bleeding bands. Ian, a fun piece for two pianists.
Saint-Saëns.
Yes, it comes from Saint-Saëns, Carnival of the Animals. A workout for piano duettist's digits. Ian, how many digits have they between them, two pianists?
I think there's probably two answers to that.
Not down here, but...
A correct one and an incorrect one.
No.
That's about the size of it.
No, two possible correct ones, I would think. Digits in the being fingers would be that there would be 16, because you don't count the thumbs as digits.
No, that's the wrong answer, actually. Are digits. Yes,
are they?
They are digits.
Oh, well, in that case, it would be 20.
No.
But digit in the other sense is keys.
No,
on
you've
the piano.
You've got some more digits under that table.
Oh.
Oh, we don't count those.
Oh,
surely.
Yes, you do.
When they're not playing it on the organ.
So you've got 10 fingers, 10 toes, total 40.
But notes are also called digits, aren't they? So it could be sort of about 82.
I wouldn't have gotten you. No, I've never heard of called
Mr.
them notes as digits.
Mr. Race.
Yes, sir.
Are there any pedal marks on those particular bars?
Not on the bit we heard.
No. So therefore they wouldn't be playing with their feet.
I resign.
Do elbows count?
I'm going to cut this short, give Ian a mark, and I'm going to remind you that I said, Ian, how many digits have they between them? Two pianists, so they do have 40 digits between them. Dennis, some happy singers here. Who are or were these three dream girls?
Going there, to the Motown. It's the Supremes.
Yes. Why did I refer to them as Dream Girls?
Well, presumably because there's a very successful musical called Dream Girls, which is supposed to be about them. I remember, but what always comes to mind was a man, a very witty man in New York called Taylor Mead, who was once asked, "Do you believe in a supreme being?" And he said, "Not since Diana Ross left."
Yes, he was about right too, I think. Islands. Islands, real, imaginary, magical, legendary. John, which isle is this? Music of its kind. Lovely stuff. Isn't it?
It's the Isle of the Dead.
Yes.
Rachmaninoff. Yes. After a picture by Böcklin.
Yeah, that Arnold Böcklin. That's right.
Wonderful. Man.
The Isle of the Dead by Rachmaninoff. Beautiful, beautiful. Frank, a Valdunican island.
But dreams don't last, though dreams are not forgotten. And soon I'm back to stern reality. And though they pave the way here with gold dust, I still would choose my Isle of Innisfree.
Frank, where is Innisfree?
I'll tell you exactly where it is.
Do.
It's in the Oxford Book of Verse.
Yes, it is.
Towards the end, probably.
The collected poems of W.B. Yeats. Yes, you're
well, right. Presumably it's in Ireland. Yes, if he sang it. I mean, it wouldn't be in Wales, would it?
I looked this up. Yeats told an inquirer that it was in Lough Gill in County Sligo, which is confirmed in the Blue Guide and the Everyman Encyclopedia, but Bartholomew's Gazetteer says in Donegal. So you can sort that out for yourself.
You can't trust him.
Ian, here's Moira Anderson's island. Lovely island, Ian. Where is it? Which is it? And what's the main town?
Well, I know what it is, and I'm absolutely sure that it is as beautiful as Moira makes it sound. The only two times when I've had a chance to go there and have been at Oban, there have been storm-forced winds which have stopped the boat making it possible for me to go. But it's the Isle of Mull.
Yes. And the main town?
Is Tobermory.
Tobermory, yes. As in the story by Saki. Yeah. Dennis, which island is this?
I found my something love in with you. I was waiting for the one where I found it between the ship beneath the shade of an old walnut tree.
No, not that one.
It's one of the Balearic
Yes,
islands,
that's right. Well, pick the biggest one of the lot.
Mallorca.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, I checked the pronunciation of this. The BBC, for a very long time, insisted very strongly on Majorca. They said, no, it's English words, major and minor, so it's Majorca and Minorca. But they finally yielded, and now the BBC is allowing us to say Mallorca, because that's what everybody calls it.
Well, they couldn't afford to go there until recently. until package tours.
One of the authorities, the BBC, rang up to see what they thought about it, you know, to get the general sort of opinion going, the pronunciation unit there, was they rang London Airport. They said, what do you call it? And they said, we call it Parma. Still on islands, anyone, a half mark, which isle is this?
I love the moon.
It's Isle of the Moon. Yes. Okay. Everybody's got a half mark, so it cancels out. Right.
I don't understand that.
No. Here are four.
To play upon words, Frank.
Play upon words.
Oh. Well, I'm all for that.
Here are four notes. And they're the starting notes of a number of different tunes. John, what's this?
I love you, Porgy.
Yes. Let's take I Love You, Porgy from Porgy and Bess. Yes. Mm. Frank, the same starting notes, but different after that.
I love those harbour lights. Yes. They only told me you. Oh dear.
Yes. Harbour lights, yes. Ian, same notes again, starting. Just one simple phrase for you.
What's that?
We're going on the town.
On the town by Leonard Bernstein. Yes. Dennis, so easy yours that I'd like to know the name of the trumpet player who made the song famous.
I can't get started with you.
Yes.
Bunny Berrigan, I presume.
Yeah. Yes. Do you know who wrote the song?
No.
Vernon Duke, the tune, and Ira Gershwin, the words.
Oh, right, yeah.
John, one of the great show business personalities coming up. His first film was in 1929. His last film was in 1967. Not a bad span, with a special Oscar in 1958 for contributions to the world of entertainment for more than half a century.
Eyes of Lisette, smile of Mignonette, the sweetness of Suzette, in you display.
It was indeed.
He was Maurice Chevalier.
Chevalier, yes, that's right.
You know that rather nice story. He was supposed to be a little bit mean with the money. And he had a assignation with a married lady, and it was arranged she would throw a 5-franc piece coin down into the courtyard when he was gone. And so she threw it out, and he came 50 minutes later. And she said, what kept you? He said, I couldn't find the coin.
Well, Maurice Chevalier it was, yes.
Well,
Frank.
50 francs is about 100 quid in those days.
Yes. Frank, here he is, introducing one of his songs.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to sing a song from my most recent picture called One Hour With You. That's the name of the picture, but the name of the song, I'll tell you now. The song is called... No, I won't tell you how the song is called. You'll know in 1 minute how the song is called.
How is the song called, Frank?
He changed his act. It didn't sound like Maurice Chevalier, did he?
It didn't sound like John.
French waiter.
Do you know how the song was called?
No.
Well, here is Chevalier's own answer for you.
Oh, that Michi. Oh, that Michi.
Ian, some of his songs seem to have worn less well than others.
Just a bum, I'm always on a spree. And if you want some fun, become a bum, and be just like my bum, a very merry bum.
Not his greatest song, I think. Ian, one of Chevalier's films co-starred Charles Boyer, Leslie Caron, and Horst Buchholz. Do you know which one it was?
I would have thought it was Gigi.
Well, no, it was not.
No, no.
Not with that lot in them, no.
Whoa.
You've got every reason to know what the story was.
Was it Fanny?
Yes, it was Fanny. Yes.
Oh, because Leslie Cannon was in Gigi with him.
Yes, but not Horse Bacots.
No. Somebody I know who was on Gigi with him, was working on Gigi with him, when he sang I'm Glad I'm Not Young Anymore, which he did without me, practically, you know, he's sitting down, he rehearsed it for months and months so that he did something on every syllable with a part of his face or just his hands or his eyebrow, and he did it every time they rehearsed it on that half syllable. Up would go one eyebrow, down would go one side. He was a complete craftsman.
Yes, that's right. I knew Ian would know the show because he was in the stage version in London of Fanny. Dennis,
I do that on my songs. Yeah. You'd never notice that. The eyebrows.
I'm the same. I can get
never
all the
said a word. No, until
I can get all the actions. Yeah, it's just the voice there.
Dennis, it's your turn. By the time Chevalier made the film, Gigi, his voice had dropped a little in pitch, and you may feel in sheer quality as well.
Each time I see a little girl of 5 or 6 or 7, I can't resist a joyous urge to smile and say, thank heaven for little girl.
He'd really gone off, hadn't he, Barbara?
You know what I think he was doing? I think he was giving an impression of Ian Wallace.
Ian Wallace. Ian, I was watching you. You did not recognise the introduction of your own record, did you? It wasn't till the voice came that you knew it was you.
Yes,
did you?
Yes.
Did you know the introduction?
It was sort of familiar. Yeah. It was interesting that, because I didn't, and yet I was sort of mouthing it and wondering why I was mouthing it.
Well, that's why. Because it was you. Yes. Early memories, especially early musical memories, can be very potent. I wonder, what was the first opera or perhaps the first musical that you ever saw, of you? And did you enjoy it at the time? John, perhaps first opera.
First opera I ever saw was Madame Butterfly, Streatham Hill Theatre.
Good start.
And I learnt from Harold Rosenthal, because he apparently was at the same performance, and I didn't know it was Maggie Tate as Butterfly.
Yes.
I cried throughout.
the
sound of... No, it wasn't the plot or anything to do with it. It was just the sound of the orchestra.
Yes.
I'd never heard one before, and it just made me cry. Mm. Sob, sob.
Yes. Frank, your first musical?
My first opera I went to was Cinderella, and I was taken by, Mr. and Mrs. Lambert, who were very impressive. And I was so excited with the understandable plot and the music and the scenery. And I did that trick of sitting on top of the seat, you know, putting it up. I was 53. It was a Saddler's World. And in Saddler's World, I was taken by Jack Lambert, who we probably know.
Yes. And it was the Rossini Cinderella.
Yeah, wonderful. It was my first opera.
Ian, first memory.
Well, I think my first musical that I was taken to was the original production of Mr. Cinders.
You
with
too.
Bobby Howes and Binnie Hale.
Yes.
That was about 1930, and it was at Golders Green Hippodrome at a matinee.
My goodness.
The Vivian Ellis music.
I was there. That was my first musical too. Golders Green Hippodrome, Mr. Cinders, Bobby
Hayes,
and Billy
Hayes. Yes, well, that dates us, doesn't it?
Yes. Yes.
First opera was Marriage of Figaro, I think at Sadler's Wells, and I think we were taken in a school party, and I can remember getting into trouble with people in the row in front, because I found the recitative and the comedy so funny. I was roaring with laughter very loudly, and people were sort of going, like this. Seemed to me ridiculous, because, I mean, it's a comedy. Why shouldn't you laugh?
Absolutely, yes. Mm-hmm. Hasn't it stood the years well, too, the revival? I must tell you this, because I was at the Golders Green. It must have been the pre-London, pre-West
End.
Yeah,
that's right, it was,
And only a few years ago, I was in a lift in Broadcasting House, and a lady, small elderly lady, got in the lift, and I said something like, which floor would you like? And she said, I know that voice. She said, I know that voice. You're Steve Race. I know the voice. But I didn't know about the woolly whiskers. And then she said, I'm Binnie Hale. And I met her, dear old Binnie Hale. Dennis, your first show?
I'm glad you didn't insist on first opera, otherwise this would have been one of those three-handed rounds. Yes, my first musical was a show called Give Me a Ring, and it had Flanagan and Allen, Evelyn Leigh, Will Fife, Bertha Belmore, Gina Marlowe, and it was written by Weston and Lee and Guy Bolton, and if John cried all the way through it, I was 10 and I laughed all the way through it. I'd never had such a long session of laughing in my life.
Terrific cast, wasn't it?
No, it was a lovely show, but without any songs. I've searched for songs from it ever since. There are a couple, but they're not really very good.
No marks are won or lost in this final few minutes when the foursome falls to singing. Frank, a song about car repair.
He had to get out and get under to fix his little machine. He only wanted to cuddle his queen, but as he began it, he had to get under. Then he'd get back at the wheel. A dozen times they'd start to hug and kiss, and then the darned old engine, it would miss. And then he had to get under, get out, get under, to fix up his automobile.
Complete contrast from John, a serenade, the serenade perhaps by Schubert.
Lies a fein meiner Lieder durch die Nacht zu dir. Stillen Hain hernieder, Liebchen, komm zu mir. Flüstern schlanken Wipfel lauschend in des Mondes Licht, in des Mondes Licht. Des Verräters feindlich lauschen, fürchte nicht, fürchte nicht.
Dennis, on the other hand, has a song about a girl who went wrong, or was wronged, or perhaps both, Dennis.
Oh, she is more to be pitied than censured. She is more to be helped than despised. For she's only a lassie who ventured on life's stormy path, ill-advised. Do not scorn her with words fierce and bitter. Do not laugh at her shame and downfall. For a moment, just stop and consider that a man was the cause of it all.
I deny it all.
Ian's song is so often requested that we like to come back to it from time to time. Sidney Carter's song about what takes place down below.
When you're working in the dark down below, underneath St. James's Park down below, when you're working in the dark. It isn't half a lark when you're working in the dark down below. Oh, it isn't hard to tell down below if it's bow or clot and well down below. For bow and clot and well has a different kind of smell, and we know it very well down below. Oh, the objects that you find down below help to entertain the mind down below. There are watches you can't wind wrapped up in bacon rind, and that isn't all you find down below. Oh, there's something in a sewer down below that has a strange allure down below. And the magic of the drain is a thing I can't explain, but it's calling me again down below.
About it.
Down below here at the foot of the score sheet, I see we have a victory this week for John and Frank. Goodbye.
Taking part in My Music were John Amis, Frank Muir, Ian Wallace and Dennis Norden. The chairman was Steve Race. The questions were compiled by Steve Race, and the program was produced by Pete Atkins.